you've noticed that I've that God's been doing some pretty interesting works in our lives over this last year, and how He's really has brought us back from the point of being away from Him to being able to just feel such a freedom and a closeness to Him that we're just overwhelmed with the joy and with the peace that has come from the way that God has entered into our lives over this last year. And He's such a wonderful God, and so this morning for us to stand here, it's really to give Him the glory. And I was going to teach on what we've been learning at home group, but God woke me up the other morning with a sermon. So, and it's from Him, and I believe that it's for each one of us. So, the passage that we're reading from this morning is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and I've got a gorgeous week granddaughter coming up this morning. Let's read it together, shall we? Love God, your God, with all your heart. Love Him with all that's in you. Love Him with all you've got. He keeps repeating it right throughout the Bible, and the most famous repetition is when the young ruler came to see Jesus. And the next slide is Luke 10, 27. Read it again. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your passion, all your soul, your prayers, all your strength, your muscle, and all your mind, your intelligence. Your passion, your prayers, and your muscles from the message, which I have actually found just so easy for me to understand, and it's really helped me understand a lot of passages. Let's leave them on throughout the sermon, because the sermon is about this first command. I believe that God has a role for our church, and our church has two main purposes when we get together, and they should never ever be forgotten. And they are the two commandments. That we obey the commandment to love our Lord our God with all our heart, with all our passion. And the second commandment is that He has for us, is that we love one another as He has loved us. Colin has touched on this in the sermons over the last few weeks, looking at how the Father and Him are one, and He desires it for us. In the next fortnight, when I talk again, we'll be focusing on the second commandment. But today we're focusing on this first commandment. And I've divided our sermon into two sections. The first section is that the role of the places of worship, in other words the church, is to fulfill the first commandment. I believe that we need to have that the main purpose of our Napdale Waikeka church service should be to fulfill these commandments. They should be the reasons that we meet every week. Yes, evangelism and outreach have a place, but only as a result of us fulfilling these two commandments in our services. We come each week to respond to His love with our love for Him and each other. Our services should always encourage or challenge us to love Him and learn about being His loving church to the world. Each week when we gather, our service should remind us and require us to draw away from our busyness, our distractions, our hurts, our disappointments, and be drawn into a response to the Almighty God. Jesus, our Saviour, and the person of the Holy Spirit. They are the source of our salvation, life, love, and our reason for being. It should be the first, most important task of our church service to acknowledge God and this commandment. I believe that it was a commandment to all churches, that they were established to acknowledge the glory of the Lord and to respond to Him in worship. Not only the churches, but in earlier time the tabernacles and the temples were also established for this purpose, to enable His people to encounter the glory of God and worship Him. We want to look up Exodus chapter 40, 34 to 38. Exodus 40, 34-38. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could no longer enter the tabernacle because the cloud had settled down over it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, whenever the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set off on their journey following it. But if the cloud did not rise, they remained where they were until it lifted. The cloud of the Lord hovered over the tabernacle during the day and at night, fire glowed inside the cloud so that the whole family of Israel could see it. This continued throughout all their journeys. The tabernacle was identified as God's home on earth. It filled him with his glory. He guided the people from it. When to leave, when to stay, it was the identified resting place of God. Our church should be the same. Moses was required to prepare it carefully according to God's instructions, so it was pure and holy and dedicated to God. The tabernacle was to be the place to come to worship the living God who was actively involved in all their lives. The temple. I'm going to look up 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Second Chronicles chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Solomon then summoned to Jerusalem the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribe, the leaders of the aristocratic families of Israel. They were to bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant to the new temple from its location in the city of David, also known as Zion. In verse 13 and 14. The trumpeters and singers performed together in unison in praise and gave thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words, "He is good. His faithful love endures forever." At that moment, a great cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God. And Solomon prayed, "O Lord, you have said that you would live in a thick cloud of darkness. Now I have built a glorious temple for you, a place where you can live forever." In verse 12, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the entire community of Israel, and he lifted his hands in praise. In verse 14, "O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in all of heaven and earth. You keep your covenant and show unfailing love to all who walk before you in wholehearted devotion. You have kept your promise to your son David, my father. You made that promise with your own mouth, and with your own hands you have fulfilled it today." "Now, O Lord God of Israel, carry out the additional promise you made to his servant David, my father. For you said to him, 'If your descendants guard your behavior and faithfully follow my law, as you have done, one of them would sit on the throne of Israel.' Now, O Lord God of Israel, fulfill this promise to your servant David. But will God really live on earth among his people?" Well, he did in the temple. Solomon prepared and planned for a place of God to dwell so that everyone would be reminded of God's promises, of his unfailing love, and of their responsibility to respond to him. That was the role of the temple. The relationship between God and his people was not passive. It was active, and it was a physical response before. Standing, kneeling, acknowledging how much their hearts responded to him. Psalm 29:9 says, "In his temple, everybody shouts glory." The churches. The early churches continued to worship in the temple. When they became Christians, they were familiar because they were Jewish converts. So they were familiar with the requirements of the required responsiveness of going to the temple. And they continued to do it, to go to the temple, which was the place they were reminded again of his unfailing love and their responsiveness. But then after that, they met in homes for lunch. Later, as Gentiles were converted, it didn't seem appropriate for them to go to the temple, so they began to meet in homes. And they also were beginning to be taught 1 Corinthians 3:16. It says, "You realize, don't you, that you're the temple of God, and God himself is in present with you. You do not have to go to a certain place. You now have the living God dwelling within you as the temple." A place wasn't important. It was more important to gather together, to worship, to share, and to learn. However, of course, churches did develop. Places of worship stood because of the sheer numbers of people. And there needed to be places that they could meet, and buildings were created for the sole purpose, again, of gathering together and worshipping and being reminded, again, how much God loves them and how much they do love him. These places of gathering and worship, whether the tabernacle, the churches, temples or homes, all honoured the first two commandments, to love him and worship. And then because of his love, they were empowered to love and care for each other. The church was created to provide a place of worship. That's why we have church building services. The second part is that no matter how good the building or the temple or the place of worship was, churches were the places, but it was the individuals, each one of you, that were called to obey these commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind. God does delight in us. He desires us to respond to him. And it is our church's responsibility to remind us and to enable us and to lead us to that response every Sunday. We are to respond in love to him each Sunday. It's our chance to do it. We've all been busy lives. We've all got stuff happening. And it's so easy for us to not take the time to come and worship and respond to him. It's always a privilege to come to church and know that we called and I've got this time set aside just to be with my brothers. We thank our members of our church. Several of us are so thankful for our families and our church places to come together to worship him. That's why he created it, the temple, the tabernacle. He didn't want us. He wanted us to stop right now, fill our lives and respond to him. It's the church's job to always create that opportunity each Sunday. As individuals, what has it been like? Looking back over the Old Testament in a very brief Judy Dennis summary, Adam and Eve were first created to walk and talk and to respond to God as individuals. It was a wonderful openness and admiration and freedom that they had to be able to do that. And then, of course, they chose not to, and they chose to put themselves first. And that choice of sin then caused the barrier, the total inability for us to respond with openness to God. But God didn't change. And his call for individuals to walk in a relationship with him, with this God of love, continued. Let's look at, I'm now going to use the message, Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12 to 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12 to 13. So now, Israel, what do you think God expects from you? Just this. Live in his presence in holy reverence. Follow the road he sets out for you. Love him. Serve him, your God, with everything you have in you. Obey the commandments and regulations of God that I am commanding you today. Live a good life. Chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. So love God, your God. Guard well his regulations and rules. Obey his commandments for the rest of time. And then he keeps repeating himself. In 11 again, verses 30 and 15. From now on, if you listen obediently to the commandments that I am commanding you today, love God, your God, and serve him with everything you have within you. He's for our farmers. He will take charge of sending the rain at the right time, both the autumn and the spring rains, so that you'll be able to harvest your grain, your grapes, your olives. He will make sure that plenty of grass for your animals, you'll have plenty to eat. But you're to love him first. That's right, in verse 22 he again repeats it. That's right, if you diligently keep all the commands that I command you to obey, love God, your God. Do what he tells you. Stick close to him. Joshua 22, verse 5. Be vigilant in keeping the commandment and the revelation that Moses, the servant of God, laid on you. Love God, your God. Walk in all his ways. Do what he's commanded. Embrace him. Serve him with everything you are and you have. 1 Samuel 12, 20. But I beg of you, fear God and worship him honestly and heartily. You've seen how greatly he has worked among you. It continually calls the Old Testament for people, individuals, to love God with everything, heart relationships, with your prayer, your passion. And Jim today handed round our sheets for us response. It was a very appropriate Sunday, Jim, because you are asking for our passions. and we fill in that sheet. We all have individual passions and different things that we feel strongly about, and this is the opportunity to fulfill them for him. Prayer was one of them, of course. Muscle. You know there's plenty of muscle in our church. And intellect. We also know there's a lot of intellectual discussion that goes on in our church and our home groups as we serve him and communicate with him one-to-one. But in the Old Testament, time and time, the people moved away. They wanted, first of all, a structure to remind them and follow the Lord, hence the tabernacles and the temples were built, place to come. And the glory of the Lord filled them, and they came to those places and responded to him. But it still wasn't enough. They wanted more. They wanted rituals and laws and religious procedures like all the other nations. They wanted it because they wanted to work at obeying him more. They wanted to actually work and put that first, so it provided a greater distance between them and God. I'm working for you, God, isn't that enough? I'm obeying your laws, isn't that enough? Because of their sinfulness and desire to have rituals and procedures like the other nations, they wanted a formal process to remind them and ensure repentance and change. So God seemed to say, okay, that's what you want. I'll provide laws, write them on your heart, and through them, you may be led to me. Not distracted, but remember my first command is you should be no other gods but me. Love me with all your heart. Despite the law and religious procedures, the people moved away from him time and time again. And God, throughout the prophets and the Psalms that David wrote, all I want from you is a new heart. A new heart, an individual relationship. I don't want you to go to places. I don't want you to obey laws. I don't want you to have procedures. I just want your heart. All I want. I love you, and I want you to relate to me just as you are. Praise God that today, through Jesus, we are now able to. Praise him that through his power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we have freedom from our sins, that we can come to him and have the ability to respond to him with nothing between us, just him and us. Oh, it's just been so precious for me to return to that relationship after being away from it. And it's just, you want more and more and more. Hardy Baker says that the greatest sadness of the Western world is people have lost their hunger for God. You know, and when you hunger for him, you just want to spend that time in passion and prayer. And for me, it was a real battle because I had been brought up the generation that was focused on service, not on worship. When our young people came into our house, what they taught us was never about service, it was always about worship. I went to Camp Columba yesterday, and the worship, those young people are teaching us about worship. They have such freedom to worship him because they know him that way. Where for us it was always about doing things for him. He doesn't want that. He doesn't actually want that. He just wants us to love him with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls, and with all our muscle, passion, everything. And our church worship should be totally responsible for reminding us about that and enabling us to obey that first commandment each week. It's not about hymns or choruses. It's not about whether you sit or stand or you kneel. It's about calling us to respond, all of us, to the God of love. This is the continual call of him. This is what he placed in my heart in the morning. This is the reason we have a church service. It's to provide us for a place of worship. It's to remind us to respond to this first commandment time and time again. And yet it seems to make us sometimes feel uncomfortable, uncertain, over-emotional, inadequate, whatever reason we put in between us and God. You know, it's crap. We've got to go. This is God. This is the God that we love. This is the God that we are called to honour. This is the God that comes before us. Our lives are to revolve around our services. Fiona said the other day, I can't wait. I can't miss a service. I never know what's going to be happening in our services. This should be our call each week, that God is going to meet with us and he's going to change our lives. Today something is going to happen that's never happened in Waikato Church. Dear Lord Jesus, have given me a gift of encouragement and words and wisdom. And today, throughout the week, God's been giving you me a word for each one of you today in the service. I must apologise for the people that I didn't know was going to be here today. I haven't got a word for you. But I'd love to pray for you, if you'd like to be prayed for. But I, for the rest of you, there's some words here for you. And they're waiting for you at the beginning of the service. I can't tell you what a joy it's been to hear what God has got to say to each one of you. It may make you feel a wee bit uncomfortable, maybe like the first time it's ever happened for you. But it was so precious for me, and they are beautiful words. And words from him that tell you how he loves you. And please, for those that haven't got them, come and see me, or come and see one of the elders, and we can pray for you. They'll be out the front, I'll put them and spread them out. And the response is for you to come and get them. If you don't want them, don't come. And for those that are family members that aren't here, feel free to come and take them for them as well. I know there's a few missing because I knew they weren't going to be here today, for those that are here. Because that's what he wants. He wants to respond to us individually each week. He wants us to individually respond to him. He wants to delight in our love and our times. He's really been teaching me this. He's been calling me to just take time out and really spend more and more time with him. We think it's activity. It's an active response. It's about love that we feel. It's about thought that we process. It's about being physically committed to him and responding to him and talking to him. Worship allows God within us, the Holy Spirit, to disturb us, create love. Don't be frightened of him. He's so kind. He's so good. He is kind and good. For those of you that have a fear of God, don't be. He's never, ever to be frightened of. We have had many prophecies in this church, and there have been recently some prophecies that I think Lynn is going to expand on in the next few weeks, and some of them are so precious. And all of them, though, are about encouraging us as individuals to come down and engage in love with him. So today and every Sunday, our church services should be to remind us as individuals that our God loves us. And we're now given an opportunity to say back to him, thank you, we love you. You, our God, has changed our lives. You've given us forgiveness. You've given us new hope. You've given us healing. You give us peace. You give us patience. You give us joy. You give us kindness. You give us gentleness. You give us self-control. You give us so much more. We love you. Ephesians, of course, chapter 3, 14 to 21 is how I'd like to conclude. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who's parceled out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by a spirit, not a brute spirit, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, that the Waikato Mapdale Church will be able to take in the extravagant dimensions of God's love, Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breath. Test its length. Pump the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. It's Paul's prayers for Ephesians, and it's my prayer for our church, that we may experience the extravagant dimensions of his love and return it with ours. He is so totally worth it. Let's pray. We love you, Lord. We absolutely want to love you to the depths and the breadths and the extravagant dimensions of all you want to do in our lives, all you want to show, and all you want to provide in love to us. It fulfills us beyond anything else. It gives us the completeness and the hope that we have from no other source. We love you.